Today's episode of Dog Nation Daily is brought to you by Pella Window and Door of Georgia, viewed to be the best.
Presented by DogNation.com, this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
So I have to admit something. If it were up to me, I could probably do social distancing for about 6 months. I mean, as long as there's plenty of food in the refrigerator and plenty of things to read and stuff to watch on TV and things like that, I could probably go with this thing for like maybe even a year. I mean, my wife told me this weekend that I've been kind of training for the coronavirus for years and years anyway. You know, I'm kind of a germ freak. I like to wash my hands a lot. I don't mind staying in the house. So from that standpoint, I'm kind of doing well. It's my kids who are going crazy. You know, this begins like day one of the school from home thing. I think it's already a little sideways in my house. So that's the part we're going to try to get through, keep them from having to go to the emergency room for some non-coronavirus related reason. Nonetheless, many of you probably find yourself kind of doing the same thing. So here in our program, Dog Nation Daily, presented by Pella Window and Door, we will do our part, try to keep you distracted from all that, try to keep you entertained. And the great news is there's actually some football news, or at least conversation starters for us to kind of kick around today, and really looking ahead the rest of the week. I think we're pretty well planned in terms of some really fun content, so I hope you'll be here for it. I know many of you have kind of a crazy new schedule that you're going to have to be dealing with for the next few weeks, so when possible, we hope you can be a part of this. Our plan is to be here with you each and every day. Now, it's going to be a little different, and I'll get more into some of that coming up a little bit later on, but Dog Nation Daily, presented by Pella Window and Door, is not going anywhere, nor do I think we should. We're going to keep trying to deliver you some really, really fun content. With that in mind, shout out to the folks at FoxBet, which is one of these, like, you know, betting house, gambling industry things. We've seen a lot of growth in that industry over the course of the last year or so. FoxBet's kind of one that sort of stepped up to the plate. And obviously, as their name would suggest, they are affiliated with Fox, the big broadcast entity. FoxBet kind of works there alongside them. And maybe they had this planned all along, or maybe they just saw the opportunity to kind of step in with some content at a time when our sports fans really, really need that. But they have dropped their previews to games of the year for some of the top games in college football for the upcoming season, and there are three Georgia games prominently mentioned. So with that in mind, that's where I want to begin our discussion here today, and I guess a word of warning here off the top. The folks at FoxBet, the first people to officially weigh in on the subject of the 2020 season in terms of point spreads and things like that, and I've told you before, I always care about the point spread because these are the hot takes that actually have a monetary value attached to them. You know, if somebody goes on ESPN and just sort of spews some take, if he's wrong, then by the time he's proven wrong, we've already sort of forgotten who said what. But the gambling community has to put its money where its mouth is. It has to attach a number and invite people to wager on the basis of that number. So if they are way wrong, then that's going to be incredibly financially punitive. It's one of the reasons we pay attention to point spreads on our program. And with that in mind, what FoxBet has said about Georgia-Alabama, the big showdown coming up in September, is that Georgia, for now, is still a pretty significant underdog in that game. FoxBet lists Georgia as a 4.5-point underdog going to Tuscaloosa in September. Now, many of you are aware that the significance of 4.5 here is that it's kind of above a key number. So, in other words, you have to be a relatively big underdog to kind of go north of 3 points. I was doing some research on this, and it's always easier to find stuff like this for NFL games than it is college games. So if the college number's way different, then I apologize, but I'm assuming it's within the same ballpark. So according to some research that I was doing before the show today, when it comes to that key number of 3 points, Georgia more than a 3-point underdog against Alabama, but that line of demarcation is 3. According to some research that I did, about a quarter of all NFL games end with a final scoring margin of 3 points or less, and about 19% of NFL games end on a final score of exactly 3 points. So in other words, a huge number of games in the NFL, where data is easier to find, are determined by 3 points or less. So if you got a game like this where you make a team more than a 3-point underdog, you're kind of saying something about the favorite right now. Now, ultimately, it's maybe not be a huge surprise for Georgia and Alabama. Bama gets a little bit of credit for the game being played in Tuscaloosa, and the fact that Alabama has been such a easy predictor for wins going back the last few years. So if you're a Georgia fan and you think that this is the year that Georgia topples Alabama, I've predicted on this show that I think that Georgia beats Alabama twice, and I still feel that way. I guess this number stands as a reminder of that may be true, but it's not expected to be easy. Georgia really, by the time we're all healthy and playing football again, Georgia really may go out there, beat Alabama in September in Tuscaloosa, turn around, beat them again December in Atlanta. And my, how much fun will that be to enjoy all of that? But just know that a prediction like that right now is not a flippant thing to make. It's not a casual prediction. You're talking about going into a very tough stadium to play against a team that just doesn't lose very much and certainly doesn't lose very much in Tuscaloosa. Did lose to LSU last year, but other than that, hadn't lost prior to that since 2015. You're talking about going into a very hostile environment and trying to get that done, so it's probably important to keep that in mind. That's not the only game, though, that Fox Bet has weighed into when it comes to Georgia for the upcoming season. While Georgia is listed as a 4.5-point underdog against Alabama, Georgia is a favorite in two of its other rivalry games, a 2-point favorite against Florida. Now, to me, I guess a lot of us are going to say, well, maybe Georgia should be a bigger favorite than this. Maybe so. I understand all of that. But to me, this just becomes kind of a nice excuse to sort of think about what Georgia-Florida has become. I mean, Georgia-Florida, the world's largest outdoor cocktail party, has always been fun in recent years, and Florida being a little bit better has helped this. The game is all of a sudden important. So while I'm not a Florida fan, Florida being good enough to have the game feel this important, narrow point spread, SEC East on the line, I mean, honestly, that's kind of a cool thing for college football fans, right? Or maybe said better, it's kind of a cool thing for Georgia fans to know that the Georgia-Florida rivalry is now such a significant part of the preseason college football conversation. And maybe a different spin on every time somebody hypes up Florida, a lot of us here on this show kind of roll our eyes a little bit, but maybe that Florida hype is helping to make the cocktail party a bigger feeling game nationally. And to that extent, it's not necessarily a bad thing with all that in mind. And in fact, let's just, on a day we need to feel good about ourselves and on a day we need to kind of look ahead to a happier future, let's just kind of pause for a minute and sort of think about some of the things that Kirby Smart said about Georgia-Florida a year ago, and knowing that overall that vibe of important to win feels big when you're there, that feeling's apparently going to be with us now for a number of years. In fact, here's a little bit of Kirby before last year's game.
That's what makes it a rivalry, you know. You got so much at stake. So, I mean, I really don't think that it would matter if it was about the SEC East or not. It's Georgia-Florida. So that in itself carries a lot of weight. The game, the history, the tradition, the fact you have a Hall of Fame for the game alone, and players can be remembered for their performances in that game alone, is pretty big. But the SEC East is always, you know, it weighs heavily into this game. I wouldn't say it determines it all the time.
For those of you that listen on the radio of the podcast, you don't realize this, but on our video show, we show a lot of videos that we've shot in stadiums during games when we play our clips and things like that. And, you know, you go back and show some of this stuff from Jacksonville that we're watching right now, and it's kind of back in the day when, like, social distancing wasn't necessary, and you got, you know, tens upon tens of thousands of Georgia fans just piling on top of each other. Kirby Smart, hugs and high fives. That's like the most egregious sin you can commit right now, is to actually pat somebody on the head or touch their skin in any way. Hopefully get a chance to be back in Jacksonville again soon and all of that kind of be in the rearview mirror. In fact, if you want to kind of imagine what it's going to be like, to fast forward to that time when we're all kind of crowded together again in the same stadium playing a game like this of this magnitude, so big that Fox Bet's hyping it right now. I mean, Kirby, if you want to go back in time, has talked about what he thinks that Jacksonville venue means to this game, one of the most nationally discussed games here during the preseason. Let's do Kirby again.
That's probably the most unique thing, is the split 50-50, because it's weird. You know, you have a weird feeling in there sometimes. It's so different than I call it a pro mentality, because people aren't – there's no, like, student section. They're chanting for you or against you when you come out to warm up. It's not like that. The atmosphere in pregame is very different. It's a different feel, because when you go out pregame at a road game, it's like I'm in enemy territory. When you go out in your place, you're in friendly confines, but there's a lot more energy and buzz. And it seems like at this game, the times I've played in it and coached in it, it's more flat in warm-ups, and then all of a sudden, boom, you come out for the game and everybody's in their seat. They come in at the same time as opposed to being in there early.
Boy, I can't wait. Y'all, I can't wait to have whatever it is that we're dealing with right now behind us and doing this kind of stuff again. Hearing Kirby talk about Georgia-Florida, seeing Georgia as a narrow point spread favorite against the Gators right now, just makes me long for a happier time that we hopefully get a chance to enjoy this fall. But before we turn the page and talk about something different, One more thing on these Fox Bet preseason projections for upcoming Georgia games. Told you that Georgia's a 4.5-point underdog at Alabama, a 2-point favorite versus Florida in Jacksonville. For the most part, those point spreads may be within what you kind of expected. Here's a warning, though. Be careful about this, because for all the hype we see about Georgia-Florida and all the personal hype we've contributed to about Dog Nation Invasion coming up in Tuscaloosa and all the stuff that goes along with that, quietly once again, and it's amazing how true this has been year after year after year, quietly once again, the Fox Bet folks are telling you they still expect Georgia-Auburn to be a very big game. Georgia-Auburn, according to Fox Bet, Georgia is just a 3.5-point favorite in that game. So Georgia hosting Auburn is a more narrow favorite than Alabama is hosting Georgia. What does that mean? Maybe it means nothing. You can, I guess, kind of decide for yourself. But the point is don't let the hype for Georgia-Alabama, don't let the hype for Georgia-Florida, don't let the hype for those two big games take you away from the fact that Georgia has still, according to people who put their money where their mouth is, another very big game to prepare for, another very big game to circle, potentially the kind of game that could upend Georgia's championship hopes. Now, Georgia's obviously beaten Auburn a lot in recent years, so it may make you tempted to kind of disregard the game. Fox Bet saying, don't do that. 3.5 points is a game that's expected to be really close. And once again, I'll go back in time with Kirby Smart here for a minute, because if you listen to the way that Smart talked about the Georgia-Auburn game a year ago, I think it gave you a window into his feelings about the game, because that was the night that Georgia had won the SECs, and that was the night that Georgia had kind of taken care of some business. But Kirby Smart seemingly wanted to let it be known that just beating Auburn alone was a big deal, and he kind of indicated that with what became one of the most popular catchphrases in recent Georgia history. It's a reminder, though, of don't disregard Auburn. That's still an important game for Georgia to play and a big win to celebrate. Here's Kirby also going back to November.
I don't think so. I don't even think I said anything about it. I mean, I gave credit to Auburn and told our guys to handle it with you the right way. Told them, how about them dogs? That's what I told them. But excuse my language. But I didn't say anything about the SEC East, because that wasn't the goal coming in here. You know what I mean? The goal for us was to continue to get better, grow, play in a tough environment. But it really wasn't about the SEC East. Now, that's a hell of an accomplishment, and I'm proud of our guys, but that's not what it's about.
The HBTFD has sort of become so famous, I think, as a window into how big of a game that Auburn was for Georgia last year, and frankly, how big Kirby views it to be each and every year. Keep that in mind, that as we hype up Georgia-Florida, and Georgia's a narrow favorite there, and as we hype up Georgia-Alabama, and dog's a bit of an underdog going into Tuscaloosa, don't forget that Georgia-Auburn, now in a new month, played in October. That's still a very big game for the Dogs. And when you hear Kirby Smart talk about that postgame a year ago, I think it gives you an indication of how big it is for him. And all of this talk about Georgia-Auburn, Georgia-Florida, Georgia-Alabama, boy, just makes me get ready for football to return. And I can't wait for that to happen. My name is Brandon Adams, and this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans, presented today by Pella Window and Door of Georgia. Hope you're staying safe. Hope you're staying healthy. Hope you're helping to social distant, whatever the verb form of social distance is. Social distance yourself, maybe. Either way, we're just glad to have you with us live on video, 10 a.m., Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Radio Noon, Athens Sports Radio 960, The Rev. Still plan on being on the radio in the Classic City, and also as a podcast, wherever you find them, including the worldfamousdognation.com. Just really glad to have all of you with us. And huge thanks to Pella Window and Door of Georgia for making it all possible. It's a great time to support our sponsors, take good care of them. And Pella Window and Door of Georgia making it easy to do that. They can help equip your house with energy-efficient windows and doors. They're family-owned, which means you get the local service from a branch right here in Georgia, but it's also a nationally known company, so you get kind of the best of both worlds there. And how about this great deal right now? You can replace all your windows for as low as just $78 per month, or you can get 40% off qualifying installations through April 23rd. So great deals right now. Pella also offers the best lifetime warranty and top-of-the-line equipment, unparalleled expertise. So a couple different ways for you to get in touch. Give them a call in their Dunwoody showroom, 404-445-2979. That's 404-445-2979, or visit PellaBranch.com. That is PellaBranch.com. All right, we're going to get John Stinchcomb here coming up in just a moment. Let me do a couple of quick announcements before we get there, though. Here's announcement number one. We'll do one serious one, one sort of not so serious one. So today is the last day of our program in this studio for a while. We're going to sort of do our part to be socially distant because we can do the show from somewhere else. I am going to do it from home. It's going to be a little bit different, though. I think probably the best way to sort of explain this logistically is that I'm essentially going to do a podcast and a video show that are different shows. The reason why is because when we're in the studio, it's very easy to sort of do the video show the way you've come to expect it and have that become the podcast with everybody's come to expect it and radio show, everything else. You can kind of do multiple things in a studio. From a home setup, it's just a little bit more difficult for me to do that right now. So we'll still have video every single day on Facebook and YouTube, definitely. We'll see what we can do about Twitter. But Facebook and YouTube, definitely for our video product. We'll still have a podcast every single day. We'll still have a radio show every single day. But for the next couple of weeks, we are going to do that from home. So I think we pretty well have everything taken care of. For the podcast, you may not notice too much being different at all. You know, technically, it's just a little bit easier to publish a podcast from home than is the video show. On Facebook and YouTube for video, it's going to be a lot more comments right now. I'm going to be inviting you for the regular content to sort of check in on the podcast. And our hope is that by sort of pitching in and doing our part for a couple of weeks, that we can kind of all get back to normal sooner rather than later. So we're going to try to set a good example on that and get ready to do that. I'll also tell you this, and before we get John, let me just say that I have not shaved all weekend. And I want to thank those of you who reached out to me on Twitter as a way of showing some support for my quarantine beard. It is coming in a little gray. I'm a little nervous about that. But it does seem to be kind of coming in at kind of an acceptable clip right now. Yeah, come a little closer here. You can kind of get a chance to see this. So I feel like that we're coming in just a bit gray. I feel like it is at least coming in somewhat evenly, though. My wife is not super happy about this. My kids are definitely not happy about this. But your tweets of encouragement have sort of, I think, kind of pushed the ball over the goal line for me maybe being able to do this. So huge thanks to all of you who've reached out on this. I really appreciate that. And for now, we'll just kind of keep this going and see if we can kind of make this happen. So with that said, let's get ready to roll on with the rest of our program. I got more of the Fox Bet SEC games to come. I gave you all the Georgia ones earlier, but a pretty good long list of the other games. And I think that kind of gives us a little bit of an interesting prediction or so in terms of how people feel about the upcoming season. We'll do that later on. There's also some news out there around college football and college sports. I'm going to try to touch on some of that there as well. So it's a busy show for us. We're glad you're with us. Hopefully we're keeping you entertained during what is admittedly a very weird time. Let's do John Stinchcomb now. Dog Nation Daily presented by Pella Window and Door. Great to have you with us.
From Athens and across the SEC or wherever the recruiting trail may lead, here's a DogNation.com insider.
No better person to talk to on a day like this than John Stinchcomb, because when we're trying to keep it fun, we're trying to have a good time, it's always nice to have a fun-loving person on the other side of the phone as we get ready to do our Marlowe's Tavern Insider Update. Of course, it's great to talk to John about all of that. John, I hope you've had a good weekend. I appreciate you spending some time with us and hope you're staying safe and staying healthy and making the best of the situation the best that you can.
That's it. That's all we're doing. We're trying to stay positive and take it as it comes. But it's definitely a unique situation we find ourselves, is it not?
It is a unique situation, and there's no blueprint for how to handle this. And so I'm going to ask you a couple of questions that you're not going to know the answer to, and we'll just sort of try to figure out together. I mean this half kidding and half serious. Like, the one thing I've already discovered from kind of being indoors or just being at home a lot more than I'm used to over the last couple of days, it's really tempting just to, like, eat the entire time. Like, I'm really worried about, like, putting on some quarantine weight here. And, like, that's a personal thing for me to deal with because, you know, you bought all these groceries, got to go eat them all. But from a football standpoint, John, I realize there's no, like, precedent to sort of talk about this, but you have been a player. You're also a guy that, you know, kind of, you know, keeps yourself busy and in shape, you know, now. How would you tell football players to handle all of this? Because, I mean, it seems like, you know, one of the things that makes a program like Georgia so successful is this, like, militaristic routine that Scott Sinclair does a good job of you know, kind of leading, and Kirby Smart does a good job of orchestrating. But for the next little bit, you know, a lot of that's going to really be upended. There's going to be a lot of individual responsibility here on the part of the players. And that's not an easy thing, I think, for any of us to do from time to time. What would be your advice to players to kind of how to navigate what we hope is a short time, but it's going to at least be a couple more weeks?
I think you have to stay on top of it. And it is, I mean, it is a daunting task to do, especially for college, these college student athletes, because everything is so mandated and regulated to where you don't have to think very much. You know what I mean? You go to class, you have a tutor, you got your trainers, you've got literally everyone throughout your day that is scheduled for you and it's directed to you. So now that you have some personal accountability, that's a new framework to operate in for these student athletes. And, you know, CDC's putting out things where avoid groups of 50 or more. Well, I'm pretty sure our football team's got twice that.
Yeah.
And so when you're trying to coordinate and schedule lifts and runs and times to stay in shape, which, you know, I'm guessing that's restricted already just because of school being out, it's a totally uncharted space that we're in. So for these kids, young men, trying to stay on top of things and not let yourself go, because this is kind of an important time of year for you to develop and build. And I realize that training camp's not till August or late July,
yeah,
but this is the time where you can make the most gains physically and be prepared for when the season does come.
Yeah, it's one of those things where we're finally playing again. I really hope the coronavirus is like 1,000 miles in the rearview mirror, but even if that be the case in terms of its current impact on our society, in terms of how football teams come together and how developed they are, both in terms of their on-field schematic stuff, their off-field physical stuff, I get the feeling that we're going to be talking about who handled coronavirus well as a major storyline once this season begins during the fall, one way or another. That almost seems unavoidable because certain programs will just handle it better than others.
Yes, and you want to stay in front of it and stay on top of it as much as possible, and obviously health is a key piece to that. You don't want anybody knocked down for a significant piece of time, nor do you want to put people at risk of certain exposures, if you will. But I worry about the big guys, you know, your offensive and defensive line. A couple weeks away from the system, if you will, you can add a few bad pounds that are tough to get off once you add them. So trying to stay on top of things and get the same nutritional value that has been provided and you've grown accustomed to while also burning through those calories in a positive way is going to be paramount. And like you say, there are some systems and teams that are probably going to handle this much better than others. And it's going to be interesting to see how it all plays out.
Well, let me ask
from
you
this angle.
Let me ask another practical question on this topic, and then we'll talk about some more fun stuff after that. You say that, hey, for a bigger guy, it may be easy to kind of accidentally add some extra weight that becomes difficult to get off, and I certainly understand that. Goodness knows that's been the story my entire life. But isn't the exact opposite also true for another portion of players where, I mean, there are certain players that we see who are trying to play the game at 300 pounds and just sort of have a hard time staying there that, you know, if you've been given sort of this heavy dose of protein by Georgia or whatever the physiological compound is that, you know, kind of gets you where you need to be, that there are certain guys that just have a hard time maintaining a high playing weight. I think about defensive linemen, maybe more so than offensive linemen on this for whatever reason. Isn't it also true that for guys who need to be big to play, for some of them staying big is just kind of a hard thing to do, right?
That was the world I lived in. I constantly struggled to keep the weight on. And a big piece of that was being aware of how many calories you're taking in. And when you've got the system, the machine around you clicking on all cylinders, it's much easier. I mean, now there's they can taper snacks and meals to your profile and what you need, and they monitor pretty closely the caloric intake that each player has. Well, without that support system, you're kind of on your own. So, yes, it's a double-edged sword. I mean, for the guys that are trying to pack on 10 good pounds, not just 10 pounds, but 10 good pounds, it's just as vital for them to stay on top of the exercise, the amount of calories they're burning, and more importantly, the number of calories they're putting in.
All right, so I got to ask you about this. One of your old college teammates had a great thing happen to him last week, surprised on ESPN that he'll be enshrined to the College Football Hall of Fame. Of course, I'm speaking about David Pollack. What an incredible honor that is for him, well-deserved. However, I've got to take this a step further, too, because I was driving around last week, and I was listening to a local Atlanta radio station. It's called 680 The Fan, and your former college coach, Mark Richt, was on the radio. He was talking about how Pollack was one of those guys when he first came in as a young guy, that he had such a high motor and things like that, he sort of aggravated some of the veterans. And one of the things that Coach Richt said on the radio interview was, as a for instance, that a offensive lineman named John Stinchcomb and David Pollack would fight all the time during practice. And I thought, well, gosh, I have a chance to talk to John Stinchcomb, so this sounds like a story I need to hear a little bit more about. So you and David Pollack had a little aggression towards each other in the early stages there. I tell you this right now, in a time where there's not a lot of sports on TV, video of that I think would do very well for our video metrics right now. So I guess I'd love to hear your thoughts on Pollack and what the experience like was of being a teammate with him.
Oh, well, at first, this is it's well-earned, and I couldn't be happier for him. I mean, talk about a guy who arguably had the biggest impact on college football during the time that he was playing it. So congrats to David, and the fact that he's inducted into the Hall of Fame is such a huge honor. I'm happy for him and his family. I was glad to see that clip of Lindsay and the kids there with him and his parents. And you know, that's a big deal. My brother was honored and inducted a couple years ago, and to have another well-deserving dog in the Hall of Fame, I think we can all be proud of. You know, flashing back a couple decades, it was spirited at times between the two of us. You know, he was a guy that was switching position. I think he originally started off as a fullback, and there was a little bit of a learning curve to what it was like to be an SEC defensive lineman. Obviously, he picked up on that pretty quick. But there were some growing pains along the way. And for two guys that are pretty passionate about the sport, it would get heated at times. But, that's water under the bridge. And oddly enough, I've had a number of people call me to let me know that Coach Richt kind of called me out by name from that interview. But I'm really happy for him, and it's a well-deserved honor.
Well, I say this all the time. When it comes to a football team, I'd rather calm down some fighters than try to put some fight into a guy that doesn't necessarily have that. And that's an example. You go on to a great career. David goes on to a great career, and sort of finding a way to sort of dial down that fight inside of you is a lot better than the alternative of trying to find the fight, trying to find the passion, trying to find the energy. If it's not quite burning inside of you, you'd always take the former over the latter, correct?
No doubt about it. You'd rather lead with the bit than with the whip. And I think that was very appropriate for the two of us. It definitely got spirited at times. And I think it was just out of passion. So that's a good thing.
Well, I've got more questions coming up for John Stinchcomb. I'll also remind you, this is our Marlowe's Tavern Insider Update. And, you know, thinking about getting back together again and thinking about all the fun things to come, hopefully as we head towards the spring and summer, it makes me think about being on a Marlowe's patio and enjoying that house-made magic. I wish I was there right now and can't wait to be there again. Can't wait to sit on a patio with all of you there at Marlowe's again. We're going to support our restaurant community. And for me, that means supporting my friends at Marlowe's Tavern. Because, listen, they take great care in everything that they bring out and everything that they serve, whether it be, you know, the stuff that goes on the burgers. I love them, or the, you know, the wings or the shrimp and grits, all the things like that. No microwaves, nothing frozen. This is all the food that you love prepared in a very special way. Painstaking care going into making sure that everything that you everything that you taste is exactly the way that it should be. Same thing for the cocktails and things like that. We're huge fans of Marlowe's Tavern here. We love the care that they take. If you're picking up something for takeout, something like that, we know that Marlowe's Tavern takes just as much care with that. They are just good friends of ours here at Dog Nation Daily. We love them, and we're proud to support them, and proud to be spending a lot of time on some Marlowe's patios here coming up really soon. It's our Marlowe's Tavern Insider Update with John Stinchcomb here on Dog Nation Daily. And, John, before you join us, one of the things that I talked about was Foxbet, one of those gambling houses, kind of some early projections for some point spreads, which is essentially a projected winner for some upcoming games. And one of the things that I noticed was is that Georgia, 4.5-point underdog at Alabama, according to Foxbet, still many months ahead of the game being played. And to the extent that means anything, John, it is a reminder, is it not, that the challenge of toppling Alabama is still a significant one. I have predicted Georgia to do it, but that's not an insignificant claim, right? I mean, winning in Tuscaloosa, Alabama still the odds-on favorite in the SEC right now. If you're calling Georgia to be the winner of that game or to beat Alabama twice and win the SEC, something along those lines, it's important to know just how big a claim you're making as of right now. And from that standpoint, the Fox Bet number kind of reminds us of that, does it not?
Yeah, yes, and we're total homers. I mean, we know Georgia well and think very highly of the program, and I think there's a national respect for Georgia, but I also think that Alabama, at this time of the year, given their overall track record, has earned preseason praise. Now, preseason praise isn't worth a pile of salt. I mean, we can all agree that the prognosticators this time of year are oftentimes wrong as to the top teams, but it's based on track record, and Alabama has a really good one. And they've earned this chatter this time of year based on their pedigree, and it's a very good one. So once we get closer and you have a better understanding of what the teams are, that will matter more. But this time of year, that makes sense. I take no offense to it. I think it's a good motivator for those guys that are trying to look for every edge. When we're talking about off-season push and the grind that some of them are probably going to have some personal accountability to, well, any kind of factor that you can use as a motivator, I think that's a positive thing. So
yeah,
for this Georgia team, you look at it and say, our bar is set on a national scale now. Let's use this as we're seen as underdogs. There's still a lot left to prove, and there is. So we've got to be hungry and get after it.
I think that's well said, and I'll finish it with this, John. The other thing that kind of jumps out here is, and to the extent that, you know, I can use my platform to make sure people pay attention to something, I want people to notice this Georgia-Auburn spread. Georgia just a 3.5-point favorite in Athens for this game, and we know how big the Georgia-Florida game is. We know how big the task is of trying to go beat Alabama on the road, and certainly during the offseason, we've already hyped that up a good bit. But I think it's important to see these folks kind of reminding you that, hey, Georgia-Auburn's still a big game, and yes, Georgia's won a lot of the games in this series the last few years, but don't assume that an Auburn minus a Derrick Brown, an Auburn minus, you know, Marlon Davis, and some of the pieces lost off the defense, don't assume that's necessarily an easy win. Now, do I think Auburn's going to be as good this season as it was a year ago? Based on my understanding on paper right now, I guess I probably could assume they take a bit of a step back. But I think it's really interesting how Georgia-Florida always gets talked about as this game you got to circle and this game where, you know, Georgia's going to prove how good it really is. But in terms of the challenge of facing Auburn, I don't think that's a big step down from what I think of Florida as being. Georgia-Auburn, I think, is still a really big game. And I think, you know, these preseason projections like this, I think, do serve as an important reminder of that.
Yes, and you've mentioned three of the top games on the calendar this season. You got Alabama, you got Auburn, you got Florida. I recognize Florida is probably the most important just because it's on our side of the conference, but when you're talking about playing on a national scale, which Georgia is these days, we're not talking about just winning the SEC East. We're talking about playing in the college football playoffs and getting that kind of opportunity. Well, each game matters, and as much has been made, two losses, no matter which teams they come to, has pretty much been an eliminating factor for every team that is trying to shoot for that college football playoff. So opponent-wise, Auburn's kind of an unknown just because the losses they've had on their defensive side of the ball, but you also think their quarterback's probably going to be a little bit better because Bo Nix is heading into his sophomore season. So still a team that's very capable. Alabama and Florida are likewise. I mean, Florida is sitting in a seat that we might have some familiarity with looking at some Eastern Division rival, and we've had their number these past few years, so they're going to be hungry. And I still think we're winning that recruiting battle, and we've got probably more horses in the stable. But being the underdog and being hungry is kind of an equalizer, and that's something that Georgia's going to need to be aware of. It's something that teams like Clemson and Alabama have dealt with for the better part of this decade. Of every team views that week's game against them as their biggest game, and Georgia is entering into that space where each one of their opponents is going to give their best, and it's a sign of respect, but you got to be able to answer that bell as well.
John, we're doing our best trying to keep things as normal as possible, and I tell you, it's just great to talk some football with you. I appreciate your insight on the games. I appreciate you helping us look forward to kind of a happier mood in our society that we're kind of dealing with here a little bit. I know there's some serious things going on in life, but it's nice to be able to kind of pause and act not quite so serious about the topic of college football. So you've certainly done a great service for us by being with us here today. I hope you continue to stay safe. Hope the same thing is true for your family there as well. And you know, if everybody's got business concerns and things like that, we're obviously very, very attuned to that right now, too. We just prayers out really for everybody. And John, I know you feel the same way. So thanks for being here on our Marlowe's Tavern Insider Update. Can't wait to share a burger or some wings or whatever else at a Marlowe's with you again very soon.
Amen, brother. And for the rest of the Dog Nation, really the entire nation, our world, let's continue to just take smart steps and know that we'll return to normalcy at some point. We can just do what lies in front of us and do it to the best of our ability right now. And sooner or later, we can really get back to focusing on the important things like who the starting quarterback is and who's going to be blocking in front of them. But until that time, we just mind our P's and Q's and wash our hands and pray for your neighbor. So
you're a good man, John.
It's
thanks.
We'll
yeah, you're a good man, John. Thanks for being with us.
Always fun, BA. Have a great day.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
Yeah, listen, I love John, and I love, you know, the fact that, you know, he knows how to play ball on a day like this of, hey, let's just do what we can do, and, you know, we'll deal with some serious stuff. And as he said, you know, praying for neighbors and, you know, people who may be going through a rougher time than you are, working hard to get our business community, you know, feeling supported again. We've all got some really big jobs coming up in the days ahead, and we're going to take that seriously here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Pella Window and Door, and we're going to come out swinging to really support folks, and I hope that all of you are kind of ready to do the same thing. Well, with that in mind, let's just go into our SEC through here, and I want to spend a little more time previewing some of these early point spreads. And once again, you know, if you're not a gambler, take these as projected winners in these games. Take these as an early temperature gauge of public opinion around these games. And from that standpoint, I think there's some really interesting stuff. So I'm going to kind of rattle through these in no certain order, and we'll just kind of have an interesting look at some of this. How about LSU hosting Alabama a year after pulling off a gigantic win in Tuscaloosa? Game swings back to Baton Rouge this year, and LSU is a one-point favorite over Alabama, according to FoxBet. Now, a couple things to keep in mind here. Prior to the breakthrough against the Crimson Tide a year ago, Ed Orgeron, as LSU coach, had been very good against the spread in almost any subset of games you want to pick. Road games, SEC games, ranked opponents, everything like that. So, once again, if you view the point spreads as a measurement of how well you perform against expectations, Orgeron had been doing great against almost any kind of team with the exception of Alabama. And last year they got over the hump against Alabama. So favoring LSU at home against the Crimson Tide a year removed from all of that is not necessarily such a huge leap of faith necessarily. However, it is a very different kind of LSU this year. Like, the one thing I've been a big believer in is that the star from last year's LSU team for me was Joe Brady. No disrespect to Joe Burrow, who I thought was a good quarterback in 2018, but not necessarily what he became in 2019, which was, to my eyes, about the most dominant quarterback I'd ever seen in person, really, in my entire time of watching college football. How much of that was Burrow just magically improving from one year to the next? And how much of that was Joe Brady and his impact as the passing game coordinator for LSU a year ago? I think the real star from LSU last year was Brady. Fast forward to their future in the NFL, Burrow, wherever he's going to be, likely Cincinnati. Brady is offensive coordinator with the Panthers. I think this will be proven out. I think that Brady's a better bet to have a great career as an offensive play caller than Burrow is to have a great career as a quarterback. And I think that the absence of Brady will be felt by LSU this year. Because remember, prior to what Joe Burrow did the last couple of years, LSU was this kind of team of they've got everything but a quarterback, and that was true year after year after year. And one of those quarterbacks that was kind of a part of that discussion who did not step up and learn and earn the starting job prior to Joe Burrow's rival was Miles Brennan, who's expected to be the starter here this year. So to make LSU a favorite over Alabama right now, even the game's going to be played in Baton Rouge, that's putting a lot on the shoulders of LSU. Interesting to note that Florida's a two-point favorite against LSU, hosting the Tigers here this year. I think the Florida situation in terms of, on paper, the Florida schedule is expected to be a lot easier this year, and that's one of the factors for Florida putting together a really big record. However, the emergence of Ed Orgeron the way that he has, long range, I think makes the Florida schedule more difficult. Knowing that you've got to play this version of LSU every single year, and even if they're not national championship good, under Orgeron, they're going to be very dangerous. Understanding all of that, you know, Florida, as long as Kirby's at Georgia and Orgeron's at LSU, that's two really tough opponents that Florida's going to have to play every single year. Alabama plays USC, one of these early season games, 13.5-point favorite. Bama is against USC. Fox Bet really likes Alabama. You'll see that as a theme here. Texas A&M goes to Auburn. Auburn's a 3.5-point favorite in that game. This is an example of we kind of think of A&M sort of stepping into the fold here as one of the newcomers on the scene in the SEC West. If A&M is going to rise, you know, the SEC West, like a lot of college football, but maybe even more so in a place like the SEC West, is a zero-sum game. What that means is one team getting better takes something from someone else. There aren't enough resources to go around. So one team's improvement is a negative thing for the other team. This is a team like Texas A&M saying we want to step in here and take something from Auburn. They're going to have to go on the road and do that as an underdog. A&M also an underdog at Alabama, 9.5 points. LSU-Auburn right now is a pick'em game. Isn't that interesting? You know, these two teams coming back to Jordan-Hare Stadium. The story in this one has been for a while, road teams have kind of won. Remember, Auburn hasn't won at LSU since 1999. LSU has had, you know, some, you know, similar success. Or I should say Auburn's had some similar success there at Jordan-Hare Stadium, too, a little bit the last couple of years, but a pick'em game right now there. LSU is a one-point underdog at Texas A&M. So you see Texas A&M as a big, big factor in a lot of what's going to go down in the SEC West. Let me give you a couple more games here for a moment. We'll kind of wrap this up, our SEC through here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Pella Window and Door. Remember the big showdown shootout between Texas and LSU last year? The one that was played in Austin. Those two teams get back together again this year, once again in Baton Rouge. And LSU is a 6.5-point favorite in this game. Of all the point spreads we've kind of kicked around thus far, I probably feel a little stronger about this one than I do almost anything. I would say I feel pretty good about Alabama at LSU. I would say that I feel, you know, maybe pretty good about a couple of other of these games. But I think that Texas going to LSU as a 6.5-point underdog maybe worth a look, because we may be looking in a situation where, after kind of being a down team a year ago, the whole notion of Texas as a national contender, maybe that kind of swings back around, becomes a little bit more of a storyline here this year. I would say they're probably my team to beat in the Big 12 right now over Oklahoma, which just lost Trey Sermon to the transfer portal. And going to be turning to a young, inexperienced quarterback, a little bit of a different quarterback scenario for Oklahoma this year. I think that opens the door for Texas in the Big 12, and I think as a 6.5-point underdog, even though it's Death Valley and LSU, I think that Texas may be worth taking a bit of a look at there. If that doesn't come to pass, if Texas disappoints again, then it's time to stop talking about Tom Herman as any kind of significant coach, as any kind of you know, game-changing coach. Herman's just simply not that guy. If this year Texas can't find some of what it, you know, tried to find last year, although it admittedly had a good bit of personnel losses off its 2018 roster, if Texas can't regain some of that, then it's time to stop talking about Tom Herman at all. But in terms of point spreads that interest me right now, Texas plus 6.5, yeah, that's a little bit of an interest for me. And then there, finally, there's this. I mentioned Oklahoma being just a little bit different kind of version of the Sooners this year. It's Spencer Rattler at quarterback. It's not the high-profile transfer anymore for the first time in kind of a while. Tennessee goes to Oklahoma, and Tennessee is a 7-point underdog this season. That's a fun game. It's the only Fox Bet game that the Vols are listed for at all. So in terms of games of the year, big-time projected teams, Tennessee is not quite in that category yet, at least according to Fox Bet. But, man, for Jeremy Pruitt, who – and I got into an interesting Twitter conversation over the weekend because I was kind of doing some of my typical, you know, Florida mocking on Twitter, and somebody asked me a question about the Florida-Tennessee situation, and I told, you know, somebody on Twitter this week that, you know, I do have some legit respect for Pruitt. I mean, Pruitt is a thorn in Georgia's side a bit. The Cade May story is an example of that. You know, he's a little bit of a pain to deal with. It hasn't been too detrimental to Georgia's success yet, but Pruitt is an aggressive coach. He's trying to be a recruiter. He's trying to do some things like that. You know, he's just, you know, kind of, you know, trying to be a force. And on the field, after the Vols played Georgia, they actually went on kind of a nice run of success. Closer than the experts would have thought against Alabama, winning some games head-to-head. But still, there's that sense of, well, how real is Tennessee? What have the Vols built? Boy, you can talk about a winnable game on the road. I think Oklahoma for Tennessee is a winnable game. 7 points is not an insurmountable point spread. That's going to be one of the games worth watching of SEC teams playing non-conference power opponents. Tennessee could beat Oklahoma, and if it does, that would be a little bit of an announcement by Jeremy Pruitt that he's on the scene and meant to be taken seriously. That Tennessee-Oklahoma game will be a fun one to pay attention to as we head towards the season. All right, so a couple of things to mention news-wise on the way out the door. I mentioned Trey Sermon, the former running back at Oklahoma, puts his name in the transfer portal. A lot of rumors out there that he's going to go to Ohio State. That'd be a huge answer if that does go to pass. It's not news yet. It's just a rumor. But if that were to happen, that's a huge answer for Ohio State, who really needs an upgrade to its running game. Remember, the only running back they have on their roster now that you've heard of before is Master Teague, and he's likely hurt. There's also some rumors today that Evan Pryor may be getting ready to make an announcement. I've seen some of that online, and obviously Ohio State's been a factor there, so that may be worth watching a bit too. Mario Williams, the receiver from Plant, Florida, Plant City, Florida, has put out his list of finalists. You can read about this at DogNation.com. Georgia was included in that. So it's a weird time, but there's still some news out there, so stay tuned to Dog Nation to cover all of that. Also, I'll tell you this, Gatorator Updater, kind of a cool number, 1,234 days, 1, 2, 3, 4. We'll see you tomorrow on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Pella Window and Door.